Hey guys, thanks for joining us today. Before we get started, I want to let you guys know that this episode may contain content that is sensitive for some of our listeners. Please take care of your mental health, and we understand if you are unable to listen to this episode. We hope that you will join us again soon. Without further ado, here's today's episode.
What is up, guys?
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the PB&J podcast. We are happy to have you if you're a first-time listener. We are here to talk about true crime, paranormal, pretty much any other stuff we want to talk about.
Whatever.
Stuff you might want to hear, stuff you might want to talk about. You know, reach out, let us know. If you're a returning listener, thanks for coming back. We hope you like what you hear and you will continue to join us. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. It's a free way you can help us out. We really want to grow our channel.
Absolutely.
And we want to bring more content to you guys. And our promise to you is that we will do a better job this go around of being more consistent. You know, we do have things we have to do with our own lives, but we enjoy doing this.
Yes.
We want to bring you more content. Yes. And to do that, we need your help. We need help with getting subscribers. We need help getting listeners. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to do anything, but hit that like button, hit that follow button, hit that share button, all that stuff. Tell your friend about an episode you heard and have them listen. You know, just help us out.
Yes.
By doing that easy, free stuff. We're not asking for money. We're just asking for a little bit of your time.
Yep.
And a click or two on your computer.
Yes.
Or your phone or what have you. So with that, today we are going to talk about Amber and Josh Hilberling. And if you haven't heard this story, buckle up because it is a wild ride story.
Yes.
I will tell you, it to me, and I don't mean this to offend anyone, and if either one of their families are listening, please do not be offended by this, but this case is the definition of a toxic relationship.
Yep.
In my opinion.
Right.
And that it is just that is my opinion. So with that, let's get into it. Josh and Amber Hilberling were married on July 30th of 2010 in Wichita Falls, Texas. Now, on June 7th of 2011, at the University Club Apartments in Tulsa, Oklahoma, if you don't know what the University Club Apartments are, these are the apartments in Tulsa that are in the round building.
The round high-rise.
It is a round high-rise building. It has an 8-floor parking garage, and then the apartments are on top of that. So so these two young guys got married. They're not guys, but these two young people met and decided to get married. He joined the military. And I don't know what she did for a living. I don't know if she was working or if she wasn't working. But they went to Alaska,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Where he was stationed. Ultimately, he ended up getting discharged from the military. It was a discharge under honorable conditions due to misconduct. There is speculation, and I don't know if there's actual proof, but there's speculation that there was drug abuse, possibly drug manufacturing going on. That is why he was discharged from the military. So at the time of this incident, Amber was 6 or 7, was she 7 months pregnant, I believe? I believe she was 7 months pregnant.
Yeah.
She was very heavily pregnant. Let me just put it that way. She was very heavily pregnant. They were, this apartment, which was on the 25th floor of the University Club. Now, let me remind you that there are 8 floors of parking garage, and then the apartments sit on top of that parking garage. Yes. So even the first floor apartment is
still 9
floors up off the ground. Okay. They were in a 25th floor apartment, which belonged to Amber's mother and her husband. Now, just a little bit of a side note, and I'm not going to get a ton into this because, you know, obviously they deserve their privacy, but Amber's stepfather is a plastic surgeon here in Tulsa, in Oklahoma. My son had surgery with this doctor. He had gynecomastia, and her stepdad, Amber's stepdad, was my son's surgery. That is the connection. I did not know of this connection at the time of my son's surgery. I did not know about this connection until many, many months later. So I've never spoken with this man about this case, no. Nor would I.
No.
I've never spoken with any of Amber's family. I've never spoken with any of Josh's family. I just know what I've researched on the internet. Okay. So what happened? Let me get to that. What happened is Josh fell to his death out of this 25th floor apartment building, or 25th floor apartment window, fell to his death on the top of the 8th floor of the parking garage, and I believe was killed instantly. There was a push. There was a very weak window. And I'm trying to say this in the best way possible. Yes, she pushed him.
She's never said she hasn't.
She never said she didn't
push him. She's always said that she did.
And here's my opinion on all of this. And we'll dive some more into this relationship in just a second. But my take on it is, did she mean to push him? Yes. Did she mean to push him to his death? Absolutely not.
No,
I don't believe for one second she would have pushed him if she had known he was going to go through the window and die.
No.
She would never have done it. I don't believe she would have in a heartbeat. Under any circumstances, do I believe she intentionally pushed him for him to fall to his death? I do believe she meant to push him. I do not believe she meant to kill him.
Right.
So there's my take on it. So let's get into this. So she did take two polygraph tests. The first polygraph she took was inconclusive. The second polygraph she took, which was immediately after the first, was no deception indicated. So here's a couple of the questions that they asked in the polygraph. One, did you deliberately push Josh out of that window? And she answered no. And the second was, did you push Josh out of that window on purpose? The answer was no. So that was the no deception indicated. And my interpretation of that is she did not mean to push him out of a window. She meant to push him, but she did not mean to push him out of the window. She did not push him with the intention of him going through the window.
Right, right.
Okay. Yes, she pushed him. She's never denied that. She did not push him so that he would fall out of the window. Okay, so let's get into their relationship a little bit. You know, when you're young, and I believe they met at a Halloween party, they fell in love. They decided to get married. He was going off to the military. They decided to get married so she could go with him. They go to Alaska, which is very remote. She's away from her family and friends. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if there's drug use involved, you know, that's going to add another layer to a toxic behavior or a toxic relationship. You know, any type of outside influence is going to cause relationships to maybe not be so great. Okay. So in January of 2011, there was a police report filed. The police report was that they were arguing and that Josh threw Amber's plate and started screaming in her face, and she began slapping and punching him in the face. He grabbed her left breast and pushed her against the wall. There was bruising and broken blood vessels in her right breast. Left breast. Anyway, her breast.
Her breast.
Okay. She had implants. The suspicion was that he was trying to pop her implant. Okay. So there is a back and forth of this. He did this. She did this. They did, you know, all this back and forth.
Yeah.
A lot of it. A lot of toxicity. Okay. Should they have been together? No. They got into an argument. He threw a laundry basket. It broke a window in that apartment. There were maintenance people there working on that window. So first things first, why was this window so flimsy that a laundry basket could break it?
Oh, absolutely.
Number one. Number two, how would anyone have known that all of the windows were that weak? I don't know, because I mean, obviously I wasn't there, but you know, I would not expect to push someone and have them crash through the window and fall to their death.
Right.
I would never expect that. Honestly and truly, that would be the most insane thing ever. So, you know, suffice it to say, there was a lot of toxicity in this relationship. They should not have been together. They were arguing. He was going to leave. She was going to leave. They were going to get divorced. They weren't going to get divorced. She was 7 months pregnant. They were going to have this baby any month now. You know, imminently they were about to have a child. And that child now lives with Amber's mother and stepfather. They are raising their son, Amber and Josh's son, and trying to provide the best life for him that they can, I'm sure. Amber, in 2013, Amber was found guilty of second-degree murder. She was offered a plea deal that would have given her, I think, about 5 years or so.
Yeah.
She refused the plea deal because she believed herself that she did not do this on purpose. This was an accident, and it wasn't murder, so to speak.
Yeah.
You can't see my air quotes, but I put them there. So she did not take the plea deal. She ended up being convicted, getting found guilty of second degree murder. I believe she got 20 years or
20
something
years,
like
yeah.
that. She was in the Mabel Bassett Correctional Facility in McLeod, Oklahoma. And she was able to give birth. I believe she gave birth while she was out awaiting trial, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm not positive about that. But I do believe she gave birth before she went to trial or while she was awaiting trial. And so she luckily did not have her child while she was in prison. She got to spend some time with her child. She was sent to prison. It was here in Oklahoma. She was able to get visits from her child and seemed to actually be doing well in prison, as well as anyone can do in prison. I mean, obviously. She spoke with her family regularly. She spoke with her child regularly. They were talking about what they were going to be for Halloween together, her and her son, and, you know, things like that. And one horrible day, Amber was found in her cell in an apparent unaliving. Now, this may be an unpopular opinion, but I don't believe for one second she did this to herself. Okay? And there are a lot of people that don't believe she did this to herself. She was happy. She was involved in her child's life.
Making plans.
She was making plans with her child. She was not in the state of mind that I feel like you need to be in to do this to yourself. I believe someone else did this to her. The prison does not hold that same theory. She was found in her cell. I believe she was cold when they found her, like she had been there a while. Her parents were not notified properly at all. They were called and messages were left for, say, I believe her mom and her stepdad. But they were not spoken to directly. It took them hours to actually reach someone. The response they got when they did reach someone was, she's dead. And the phone goes dead. I mean, the call disconnects. No one should ever have to find out about their child's death in that fashion.
No, I don't care what
your
kid
did. I don't care what they did. No. Those parents did not deserve to find out this way. She did not deserve the treatment she got upon her death. It just wasn't deserved, period.
No.
There is speculation that an inmate that was called T told her to go kill herself. And this is very, I'm going to say this with, I'm going to offer you your grain of salt to take this with, because I believe I heard this during Amber's interview with Dr. Phil, that she was, and I don't want to get copyrighted, you know, get a copyright infraction or anything like that, but in an interview that Amber did with Dr. Phil, I believe she mentioned that she was in a relationship with a woman named Patricia Rucker. And this is the woman that they suspect, that is suspected of telling her to go kill herself. I don't know what her orientation was. I don't know any of that. I just know what she said in that interview. Can I find that clip? No, I cannot. So I could be completely telling you something that is not true at all. And I apologize if that's the case. But her family has received communication. That's what I'm looking for. Her family has received communication that the prison is trying to cover this up. That she was murdered and that the prison is trying to cover it up. I don't know if that's the truth. I don't know if that's a lie. I don't know. I just know that she was making plans and she was doing things for her future and her child's future. And then she was found in her cell, not alive. She was hanging, I believe, by a cord of some sort. I think like a straightener cord or a curling iron cord or something like that. And that was the end of her life. And it is very sad to me that, I mean, I think it is a cover-up. I think, I'll just be completely honest with you. I think someone did this to her, and the prison doesn't want to deal with the ramifications of that. Yep. Bottom line, I mean, she was a very attractive young lady. Let me just put that out there. She was a very attractive young lady. She did get a lot of attention from the media. This was a big case in Tulsa.
Yeah.
This was a very, you know, you were either all the way on one side or you were all the way on the other side. His family believed that she purposely did this, that it was murder, that they knew she was going to do this. At some point, they thought she would, eventually this would happen. They, as far as I know, they do not have a relationship with their grandson. And I apologize if that's incorrect as well, but as far as I know, the only grandparents he has a relationship with are Amber's mom and stepdad. Which, again, is sad to me. It's unfortunate for him that he doesn't have a relationship with his father's family. And what I have seen and heard is that her mother, Amber's mother, does a very good job of speaking kind words about his mother and his father. She does not, put her son-in-law down or anything like that. She tries to make things as good as she can for her grandson. And it's, I mean, to me, it's a sad case all around. It's sad that this young man lost his life. Sad that this young woman lost her life. It's sad that this boy doesn't have his parents.
Yeah.
Just all the way around. So let's talk about this. So what are your thoughts on this, Shel?
One thing I do want to say is, like, Jenny was talking earlier about how there were a lot of things on both sides that happened. Just from the things that I remember, Amber got a bad rap when it came to the media. They painted her to be this femme fatale and that she purposely did this. And this is the thing. Even first responders said when they showed up to the, when they showed up to assess the situation and they were on the parking garage, that she passed out. They had to give her, she was so distraught, they had to give her oxygen, that at one point she had talked about throwing herself off the building. She threw up. She got deathly sick. I believe they had to transport her to the hospital to check her out to make sure she was okay because she was so pregnant. They had a hard time getting her to let him go.
Yeah, I heard that as well.
It
was very traumatic.
It was traumatic for her because I mean, I have to agree with Jenny. I don't believe that she meant to kill him. I think she just pushed him because he was being a jackass, or she pushed him to get out of the way or whatever, but she never denied that. She never denied that they were in a heated argument. There was somebody else in the apartment with them. There was a maintenance worker in the bedroom fixing a window in the bedroom. He heard the argument. He said he told the police. Now, this is the thing that really made me mad about this case. He told the police that they were both arguing, that they were both yelling, that they were both going at it. When he got on the stand, he said only she was. That only she was yelling. That only she was the one doing all the, she was the aggressor. And he had told the police that every time he showed up that Amber was very sweet to him, that she never had an issue, and that Josh was the one that was more or less combative. And then on the stand said that every time he came to the apartment, she had an attitude. So
it's just crazy.
It's crazy.
There's also reports of people saying that she got a running start and pushed him out the window.
The apartments aren't that big. The apartments aren't that big.
Okay, let me just put it in perspective. She was not a very big person.
No.
Even pregnant, heavily pregnant, she was still not a big person. She wasn't very tall. She didn't carry a lot of weight. And, I mean, Josh was a big guy. He was a very fit and in shape ex-military.
Yeah.
He wasn't a pushover. He wasn't, someone that could just be pushed around.
No.
Let me just say this. Even if she did get a running start, she did not mean for him to fall out of the window and die.
No.
On the top of that parking garage.
I'll never believe that she did that on purpose.
She did not.
It's.
And there's all kinds of stories, like, Well, when he fell, he was facing forward, like his back was to her. There's another witness that says he, you know, his back was to the ground. So that she saw her coming when she pushed him, you know, stuff like that. There's all kinds of stuff. There are two people that know what happened in that room, and they are both now not living.
Yeah.
So what really happened, we will never, ever know.
Oh, and she passed a polygraph.
A lot of what was used against her was footage from her when she was in a police station waiting room.
Yes.
And she was talking to her grandmother about what happened. She was not in her right mind at that point.
No.
She had just seen probably the most horrific thing someone could ever see.
Yeah.
And that was her husband, the father of her child that hasn't been born yet, in just shattered. Because basically that's what he was. He was shattered because he fell so far down to his death.
Yeah.
And the damage to him was substantial. She immediately, upon him falling, she immediately rushed down. There are pictures of her screaming for someone to help her.
Witnesses that saw her in the state she was in.
She, you know, and I've watched that full video of her in that room, and she keeps saying, "I killed him. I killed him." I, you know, things like that. And yes, it was her fault he died.
Yeah.
That part is clear. It was her fault. Had she not pushed him, he most likely would not be dead. But the question comes to me that whether or not the intention to kill him was there.
Right.
And I just don't think it was.
I really don't.
I didn't think it then.
No.
I don't think it now.
No.
And the fact that there's this tiny little connection in, you know, that I have to her stepfather, it does not change my opinion of this case at all, because I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah.
I realized who her stepfather was doing research on this case.
Yeah.
I was watching, and Shell can tell you.
Yeah.
I was watching something on here on television, on YouTube. I was watching, you know, a past tape of them coming out of court or something like that. And I saw him and I was like, holy crap, I know that guy.
Yeah.
I know who that is.
Yeah.
And do I know him? No. Have I had dealings with him? Yes.
Yes.
Because he operated on my son.
Yes.
But I was like, holy crap, I know who that guy is. I immediately called my sister and I said, hey, you're never going to guess this.
Yeah.
I know who her stepdad was, and this is how I know that. And that's, but my opinion was the same before that as it was after that.
Without even knowing.
I don't believe she did this on purpose. Let me rephrase that, because I do believe she purposely pushed him. Do I believe she pushed him on purpose so that he, do I believe, let me see if
with
I can word this right. Do I believe that she pushed him so that he would fall to his death? No. Do I believe she pushed him? Yes. Do I believe she meant to push him? Yes. Do I believe she meant to push him out of the window?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
You're never going to convince me that she meant for all of that to happen, that she pushed him with the intention of him going out the window and falling to his death.
And I'm going to say this, because Jenny won't say things like this, but this is the whole thing. She struggled with whether or not she wanted to do this story at all, because of the fact that there was a connection there. And it's still raw here in Tulsa. It's really, because everybody has their own opinions. But the thing is people, I've always heard that people that are going to unalive themselves don't make plans.
Right. I've heard that as well.
I've also heard that people that unalive themselves, 9 times out of 10, the people around them are shocked that they did it, because there was no indication. So I'm kind of on the fence on that, but I didn't know the other things that were going on either inside the prison. And do I think that the system here would cover something up? Hell yes, I do. They've been caught in
Absolutely.
Covering other things up that were more serious than this. But she, you know, the thing is they talked about how horrible she was and how awful she was and how she was a femme fatale and all this stuff. And this is the thing, people. And Jenny, I don't know if Jenny knew this or not, but they did not know each other for that long. I think they had been right. dating for maybe 3 months. They got married. They wanted to get married. They'd been talking about getting married. They got married when they did because she could go with him to Alaska
right.
if they were married.
And couldn't go if they were not.
Right. It was going to be a long... So they took a leap of faith and they jumped. Do I agree with that? Nah, I don't, but I understand it. I understand being in love with somebody and not
yes.
wanting to be without them. So, you know, my husband, if he'd have asked me on our second date to marry him, I probably would have ran off with him. So when you know, you know. But as far as like the things that were said about her and the way she was depicted, no, I think she was a naive young woman who was in love and followed her heart. They both did. I think they both brought baggage into the relationship that when they unpacked it, it caused a destruction of their relationship, honestly. So it's sad to me that everything comes out after this and you know, it's hard to live with an addict. Okay.
Let's put it this way. When he passed, he was 23.
Yeah.
She was 19.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
And they had already been together over a year.
Yeah. Or
so,
about a year, something
yeah.
like that.
Cause she was almost, they dated for 3 months. Then they got married. And then she was 7 or 8 months pregnant. So they'd only been
right.
together a little over a year. So that, I mean, that's the thing. And he had a documented drug problem.
Right.
She wanted him to go into rehab. And that's a lot of what they argued about because he was not working. I believe that he was not working a steady job or a job to bring in enough money. And was, from what everybody said, he was selling drugs.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know this for a fact. I'm just what everybody, the things that have come out. So when you live with an addict whose only means of income is to sell and you want out of that life, that's hard for somebody to deal with, especially when you have a child coming into the mix and
right.
you love them. You know, I've never faulted anybody for the fact that they love somebody. You love who you love. You can't change that. But I know that living with somebody and being married to somebody who is an addict takes a toll on you and your family. And it's hard to watch somebody spiral out of control and knowing that there's nothing you can do to help it. And from what everybody said and what she had said, that he was spiraling out of control.
Right.
And it was to the point where they didn't even want to be together anymore because of the thing. And a lot of their arguments stemmed from drug use.
Yeah.
Now.
You know, the typical stuff of
yeah.
one person feels like they're not getting enough attention or
yeah.
not spending enough time.
There's
getting,
not enough money.
Not enough time
there's,
being spent with
yeah.
them. And, I mean, they're just, this was a powder keg
yeah.
waiting to blow up.
Yeah.
I mean, it really just was.
Yeah, it was.
She was young. He was young. They both had their thoughts on how things should be going
yep.
and what should be happening. And they were married and had a child coming. And that's just that it just was flat out just a toxic relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would have been to me, as far as like their relationship goes, they shouldn't have gotten married. They shouldn't have, you know, been expecting a child so quickly after getting married and at such a young age.
Yeah.
I will tell you this from my own experience. I am happy that I had my son at the age I had him at. My mom was a young mother. My sister was fairly young when she became a mother. I was almost 30 when I became a mother, and I am very happy with that
yeah.
because
yeah.
there were a lot of things I did as a younger person that was just, let's face it, completely stupid and completely not a thought put into it. And that's what you do when you're that age.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's you just do whatever you want and don't think about the consequences.
Life is great. Everything's roses. And,
you know, I mean, it's a very sad case to me.
Very.
That we have two wonderful young people that are no longer with us and a child who no longer has his parents with him.
Yeah.
So with that, that is our case for today. And my parting thought is going to be, you know, think about what you're doing before you do it. And I know that's not always the easiest thing to do because, you know, I'm not young, I would think, anymore. I'm almost 50 years old. And I still want to be irrational and do things and, you know, argue and do, you know, this and that, whatever. But try your best to think about what you're doing before you do it, because there's always a consequence to what you're doing. It could be good, it could be bad, it could be neither. But, you know, just try to remember that. And like I've said before, don't forget to tell your family that you love them, because you never know when their last day could be, or your last day for that matter.
Yep.
So, you know, just remember that. And
I want to say something before we go. Before we go, I just want to let everybody know, this is the thing. Whether you're a man or a woman, if you're in a toxic relationship, or you're in a relationship where there is abuse, any kind of abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, anything like that, there are organizations out there that will help you, that will listen to you. A lot of times, and I'm going to say this because we're boy moms, a lot of times men will not report abuse because they are embarrassed. They feel they're a man. They shouldn't have to deal with that.
It's emasculating.
It's emasculating to a man, but there are organizations out there that will listen to you, will talk to you, will help you. I was watching a movie one time, and I heard a lady on there say, and this was a true thing because I've read it other places, that it takes somebody 7 times leaving an abusive situation before they finally have had enough. Some people don't make it to that 7th time. Some people don't make it to that 2nd time. So please, if you know somebody that's in that situation, do your best to help, to listen, offer a helping hand. If you are in that situation, reach out. You can reach out to one of us. We'll help you find those organizations that will help you. You're not alone. I know it feels like you are. And I'm sure that Amber felt like she was alone. Nobody knows what she went through but her. You know, my sister said earlier that there were 2 people in that apartment that knows exactly what happened. And both of them now are unfortunately gone. A child lost in this tremendously. So, you know, please reach out to somebody, get some help. If you need phone numbers, you need help finding phone numbers, reach out to one of us. And just love each other. I mean, honestly, this life is way too short to be dealing with bullshit.
For sure.
And way too short to be angry all the time. So, you know, we're here to listen. You guys are amazing. We love y'all. We love the support that y'all have given us, even though we flaked a little bit in the last year.
We just took an extended vacation.
We did. And we'll share some personal things with you guys later on down the line in this episode or in this series that we're doing. But just, you know, hang on to the people that you love. And like Jenny said, don't let a day go by that you don't tell somebody how much you love them, because you never know when that's going to be the last day. So that's it, guys.
We love you guys.
Yes, we do.
Don't forget, as I say, always like, subscribe, share. Are all free ways you can help us grow our channel.
Yes.
Please feel free to comment. We will accept kindness. We will accept constructive criticism.
Yes.
So please feel free to reach out to us. Let us know what you'd like to hear about. And we'd be happy to do research. And if we can do a story on it, we will. And yeah. Help us grow our channel, guys. We really want to bring you guys some more content. We want to be able to get some other stuff going in the works. And I do promise we will eventually be filming. I am not camera ready at this point.
We're getting there, though.
I have some dental stuff that needs to be done, so I don't want to be hillbilly jelly on the internet. So we are postponing that for now, but we will get to it. I promise. We are working hard all the time to find new content and share stories that aren't quite so currently being shared.
Yes.
There are a lot of new cases that I would love to be getting into, but there is just so much information out there right now and so much content on that right now. We want to do some, you know, little more, some older cases and go that route. So like, subscribe, share.
Yes.
We'll see you guys well, we won't see you, but you'll hear us next time. And we love you guys.
Love you. Bye. Bye, y'all.